You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to a glorious evening here in Memphis, Tennessee, and what we hope will be a fantastic broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday, October 12th, my absolute favorite time of year, the time between October and February. James Edwards, Keith Alexander in at our flagship station tonight as we go out to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online, of course, at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Another Saturday night, another live broadcast. You can count on it, folks. If you can count on anything in this world, count on us to be here to serve as your voice in the mainstream media. But I tell you, I really am taking in this time of year. It's a you're getting away from summer. You're getting into the great weather. I love the winter weather here in the South equally as much as I loathe the summer temperatures. But my wife and daughter and I, we went out to a pumpkin patch earlier this week, getting into the spirit of the season. We also went out on another day and went to an apple orchard and we're picking apples, just getting into the spirit of the fall and having a great time as Halloween approaches. You know, this weather and this time of year is balancing out the hurt I feel over the end of Breaking Bad on AMC. I don't know if anyone out there is a Breaking Bad fan, but I absolutely love it. It was the best show on television. Absolutely nothing to do with our program tonight, but I just wanted to share that out loud as a therapeutic type of measure. But it's, you know, Breaking Bad, if you didn't watch it, catch it on Netflix. Great. Well, Keith wants to know what it's about. So it's about this guy, Walter White, played by Bryan Cranston, great actor, won, I think, 3 consecutive Emmy Awards. He gets cancer. He is a genius chemist. He gets cancer, and he had lived a life, you know, barely making it by. And anyway, he turns his talents into making the best meth on the market, drugs. Certainly not something we would approve of, but it makes for fine television nonetheless. So anyway, that being said, the series finale was a couple of weeks ago. Still having postpartum from that, but I never missed an episode. That being said, we're going to have a great show tonight. Hopefully as good as Breaking Bad, in my opinion. We don't have as many guests as we did last week, and it's going to be hard to top last week's show with Mark Weber, Reverend Ted Pike, and Wayne Allen Root. It was a triple threat that took TPC by storm. But we do have one great guest coming up later this evening, Chris Ann Hall, radio host, author, constitutionalist. This is one that Eddie the Bombardier Miller booked. So for all the fans of Eddie out there, he will be in tonight during the third hour with our featured guest. But let's first, Keith, sink our teeth into a couple of emails that have come in, and then we're going to get down into the topics of the evening. The first email comes in from Eric. Eric doesn't write where he's from, but he says that he wants to thank us for being true white men, being brave and speaking the truth. Never change. I support you fully, and I'm glad to know that we have intelligent men such as yourselves advocating for our racial interests. That comes from Eric. And this one comes from Mark, the second of the two emails I'll be sharing with you tonight. Mark from the United Kingdom. You know, Keith, I'd be interested to know if we have a larger audience here in the United States or in Europe. The Political Cesspool, over the course of its 9-year run, has truly become a global phenomenon. This is what Mark has to say. Surely the first hour of last week's show was a vintage performance. I consider myself a seasoned racial realist, but was not prepared for the sheer intellectual weight brought to bear against our adversaries in that installment. Again, talking about last week's first hour. It was like two lions teamworking and at the same time almost growling at each other to sink their teeth into the same chunks of shameful hypocrisy that is the corpse of anti-white dogma. Quite edifying, and I haven't even had a chance to listen to the remainder of the show yet. So that comes from Mark. He could be a playwright with writing emails that well read. But Mark from the United Kingdom, Keith, I'm sure you'd like to say a few words to the writers of those emails.
Well, thank you, Eric and Mark. It's wonderful to know that we have good, devoted listeners like you out there, because I really do feel in my heart of hearts that we are making a difference, that we're beginning to see even mainstream conservatives and mainstream politicians, people like Bill O'Reilly, for example, coming out and addressing racial issues from the viewpoint of advocating for white people, or what's wrong with white advocating for white people. This is only fair. It's only even-handedness. It's only, you know, we're not white supremacists. I said we're white egalitarians. We think that whites should have access to the same toolbox of strategies and weapons that every other racial group has. And I think that message is finally resonating, and I think we're on the verge of a great awakening, James.
Well, Keith, I don't think it is a stretch anymore to at least believe that we have or are having somewhat of an effect on the biggest names in the industry. Perhaps certainly we'll never be given credit for that, but when you talk about, and as we have in the last few weeks, that according to TalkStream Live, we are consistently ranking now in the top 10 most listened to shows on the internet during our Saturday night time slot, and peaked last week at an all-time high at number 4. You know, certainly, word of this show continues to spread and continues to make an impact. And of course, you know, we've got the big opportunity with the television series that I'll be appearing in a few months. So actually not even a few months, a couple of months now. Taped my part last week, and we talked about that briefly at the top of the show. So, you know, the political cesspool, you know, I thought or feared that perhaps after the passing of Bill Rowland that we might, at least for a while, plateau because he did have such an instrumental effect behind the scenes on what happens on this show. But as Sam Bushman just said, and I think quite accurately, Bill Rowland is still working on this show, just from the other side, from heaven. I think he is doing his part for to look out for our well-being. But nevertheless, you know, things have continued to ascend. And as we always say, we read the emails, we do a little friendly banner at the top of each show to get everyone settled in. But you know, it couldn't happen without those who listen to this show, who pray for us, who make financial contributions. You know, we're a cooperative here. We can't do it without you. We don't get the big sponsors, despite the fact that we have a large audience, because we're truth tellers. We're truth tellers for the true-hearted. And those true-hearted people, the 1% of the audience that contributes, is responsible for every bit of good we've ever done and ever will do. And I think I am firmly of the belief that our best days are still ahead of us, even after all these years. And by the way, Keith, very exciting. In 2 weeks, 2 weeks from tonight, we will have our 9-year anniversary. And we always do the anniversary show at the end of October. But what's so great about this year's anniversary show is that for the first time in, I think, 5 or 6 years, we are actually going to be on the air on the night of our first broadcast. October 26th, 2004 was our first show ever. And I still have vivid memories of that night. October 26th of this year happens to fall on a Saturday. So we will actually be in the studio doing a show 9 years after our very first broadcast. So, we're going to have a party for you in 2 weeks. But first, let's get through this show. And we're going to do it in grand fashion right after this. We're going to kick it off.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. I just want to tell you one more thing. More advancements taking place here at the Political Cesspool and Liberty News Radio Network. There has been a new audio processor installed at our network studio, which is going to give you even greater audio clarity while listening to our broadcast. And of course, your support of this show and our network has made that possible as well. So we're improving, finding ways to get better all the time in terms of content and in terms of technical equipment. Now let's talk about Columbus Day. Columbus Day, a great day, will be on Monday. The banks will be closed. The post offices will be closed. And you know, you never know what year will mark the last Columbus Day that's ever celebrated. I'm sure that it is going to be scheduled to be scrubbed off of the calendar at some point in the near future if current trends persist. Let me tell you a couple things about Columbus, and then I'm going to toss it over to Keith. In many ways, to me, Columbus Day symbolizes the European contribution to the world. It marks the advent of Western civilization in the New World, the subsequent flowering of the United States of America, and all of the wonders and blessings which that bestowed. Christopher Columbus, of course, was born in Genoa, northwestern Italy, in 1451. Columbus led four voyages of exploration across the Atlantic Ocean, and what were relatively tiny vessels. The Santa Maria's length was only 75 feet by 25 feet wide, and they established, of course, settlements in Hispaniola today, and which consists of the modern-day Dominican Republic and Haiti. You see how that went. But here's the thing to remember about Columbus, and this is what should be impressed upon all people. The courage which such an undertaking required is absolutely breathtaking when you think about it, and almost unimaginable for us who live in a world of aircraft and motor travel. It took 3 months of sailing on the open ocean without land in sight to reach land, following a route which had never been before mapped out to a destination that no one had been before. Columbus's expedition was truly a step off the edge of the world and into the unknown. Bravery of that sort has rarely been shown again, and then only by men of the same racial family. The contributions which Europeans brought to the Americas have shaped the very face of people across the world, and all for the better. In the moral codes, our system of government, the notions of equality, the development of America, it came to symbolize the freedom which all rational people aspire. The settlement started by Columbus blossomed into the greatest system of government the earth had ever seen, driven by the thoughts of the founding fathers, so wise that their joint presence at that junction in history is so remarkable as to be seen as providential. I could go on and on, Keith. I know this is a subject and a man who you are very passionate about as well, but you look at this guy and you look at the bravery and the courage that he exhibited in his life to go out and explore the world and to do these things, and you find that here in Memphis, just a couple of weeks ago, they renamed Columbus Park. They renamed it just like they renamed the parks after the great General Nathan Bedford Forrest and Confederate Park and Jefferson Davis Park. They are absolutely exterminating these people from history to the best extent that they can. And look at what Christopher Columbus did in his life. Look what he accomplished. And we are told that men like this are men that are not worthy of praise or honor. They are to be remembered only as white imperialists or slaveholders. And the real people that need to be honored, the real people that will lay in state and will have a president come and visit their casket, are people like Rosa Parks. Now, I'm not saying Rosa Parks was necessarily an evil woman. I mean, certainly her politics and mine don't match up, but was sitting on a bus really an act that could at all compare in any way to that of men like Christopher Columbus?
I'm glad you brought up the last part of, you know, your speech. Because we here at the civil, at the political cesspool, need people to understand something very important. Sam Francis, the late great Samuel Todd Francis of Chattanooga, Tennessee, a Pulitzer Prize winning editorial columnist for the Washington Times until the execrable neocon Denise D'Souza stabbed him in the back and cost him his career in the mainstream media. Basically, Sam Todd Francis said it very well. He said that the war on Confederate symbols, like renaming the Confederate theme parks in Memphis, Nathan Bedford Forrest Park, Confederate Park, and Jefferson Davis Park, are now no more. Well, that's just the first step of a much more comprehensive anti-white campaign. And in Memphis, which tends to be the canary in the coal mine, whatever is happening here now will be coming to a theater near you soon. Well, in Memphis, they've already unnamed Christopher Columbus Park, and they are going to remove Christopher Columbus's statue from it. It's right by the Shelby County Courthouse at 140 Adams Avenue in Memphis. And guess what they're going to rename it? Civil Rights Heroes Park. Now, James is laughing in the background, but, you know, it is really sad that, like he said, people who were nothing more than chronic societal malcontents, like Rosa Parks, like Medgar Evers, like Martin Luther King, like, you know, James Meredith, people like that are being honored over the likes of completely intrepid, fearless explorers, people that opened half of the world to the blessings of white society, civilization, and culture. People like Christopher Columbus now take a back seat to Rosa Parks or to James Meredith, two people that are, well, Rosa Parks was just an operative. She was a stooge. James Meredith was probably a deeply neurotic individual. Now, people like that are now being honored in this upside-down society and world we live in today, and they're being raised up solely for the reason that they are non-white. Non-white is now in. Why is it in? It's because our white Gentile elites have sold us out. That's why we have the power of government renaming parks. And like I had said last week, when white people took charge or took over for non-white people, as in California when the Anglos took over for the Hispanics, or in the rest of the North American continent when Anglos took over the reins of power from the American Indians, the Anglos still maintained the Indian place names, honored Indian heroes like Pontiac and like Osceola, people like that. There are still towns named after both of those Indian chiefs who were the enemies of the white man, but the white man thought enough of them and was sensitive enough to other races and other people that we kept those names, Pontiac, Michigan, Osceola, Arkansas, for example. Furthermore, in California, we kept all of those Spanish place names. San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Bernardino, San Jose. We're the only people, apparently, who have a principled approach and can be trusted to be fair with other people. That's why I say that whenever you get non-white leadership in charge of any community, you inevitably see the level of prosperity, the level of civilization, the level of decorum and good behavior descend and go down. We're seeing this all the time. Columbus Day ought to be celebrated because Columbus brought civilization and goodness to the Western Hemisphere. Now we're seeing what happens when the white people give it up.
We're going to take a break, folks. More in our celebration and salute to Christopher Columbus right after this.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. James Edwards and Keith Alexander in our studio, and we are celebrating the life of Christopher Columbus and saluting a man who is, without question, an icon of Western civilization. And when it comes to, and I think that is, in essence, one of the reasons why Christopher Columbus and Columbus Day is so special to me. Columbus Day should be a day upon which European Americans can celebrate our heritage, our people's achievements and contributions to not only the nation, but the world. The critics should stand aside. We are men and women of the West, and we are proud of who we are and what we have achieved. And more importantly, we intend to keep the European nature of our nation. Columbus's tiny settlement here in the New World ended up leading the world. And when you talk about Western civilization and the contributions that our people have made to the world, the fact of the matter is European-American technological contribution to civilization is so vast that it is essentially impossible to summarize. You know, most of the recognizable everyday items that people use originate from the hearts and minds and souls and spirits of our people. Anti-pollution devices, steamboat, the cotton gin, submarines, food conservation technology, the telegraph, radio, airplane, aviation, space flight. I mean, you name it. You just name it. The list is truly endless. It could go on for pages. It would take the whole show for me to rattle off the contributions to society and technology that European Americans have given the world that all of mankind, all races enjoy and are able to use. Christopher Columbus, I believe, is an icon of the civilization and the people who brought these things to fruition. And yet, how are we supposed to remember Christopher Columbus as a racist? How are we supposed to remember white people as racists? That doesn't fly here, ladies and gentlemen. And it's so preposterous. As I said last week, it's a marvel and really puzzling that there even has to exist a show such as ours to make the case that that is preposterous. It should be so easily known and discounted that there should be, it shouldn't take Keith and I on the mainstream radio airwaves to be the one voice that offers a dissenting point of view that our people have done more good for humanity than they've done bad. Our people, if any culture should be glorified, and any culture should be respected and revered, it should be the culture of the West, the culture of Christopher Columbus.
Well, you know, Christopher Columbus Day should be celebrated because it really represents the advent not just of the white race in the Western Hemisphere, but the advent of everything good that has happened in the world since 1492, particularly in the Western Hemisphere. In 1492, the Western Hemisphere was the heart of darkness. The most civilized group of people in the Western Hemisphere at that time were the Aztecs. And the Aztecs were famous for capturing young men from neighboring Indian tribes and sacrificing them on a bloody altar, ripping their still-beating hearts from their chests. This was the civilization that Christopher Columbus and other white explorers encountered in the New World. The New World was basically a overblown wildlife refuge. It had at the most a couple of million people in the entire Western Hemisphere, North and South America, and all the islands in the Caribbean and elsewhere. And it has developed into a model of civilization, an economic juggernaut. It is an emblem for prosperity that the rest of the world envies. Europe envies it. Asia envies it. Africa envies it. And if there were people in Antarctica, they would envy it too. We are the envy of the world because white people and their values and their civilization flourished here in a virtual wilderness. Now, what we're seeing today is the anti-Columbus Day. We're seeing the descent of Western civilization, both in Europe and in America, North America and South America. And it's no coincidence that the descent of Western civilization is happening coincidentally at the same time with the triumph of liberalism. Liberalism is the technique that the left uses to dispossess white people. When white people are dispossessed, when white people are no longer in charge, things start going south in a hurry. Don't take my word for it. Watch and learn. You know, hide and watch, as they say. Look at Detroit. Look at Haiti. Look at Gary, Indiana. Look at Camden, New Jersey. Look at Zimbabwe. Look at South Africa. Look at what's happening throughout Europe as non-whites move in. Basically, white people need to stop apologizing for themselves and their civilization. We're like the swallows that return every year to Capistrano in California. We're the harbingers of springtime, of growth, of warmth, of goodness. Everything that is, you know, fortunate for existence can be linked to the advent of white people and their civilization. Black people, for example, would not have Christianity. There would have been no development in sub-Saharan Africa had it not been for the advent of the white race there. In fact, the only two nations that have ever existed in sub-Saharan Africa that were prosperous by any reasonable standard were Rhodesia and South Africa when they were dominated and ruled by white people. When the reins of power are turned over to non-whites, things go to hell in a handbasket in a hurry. That's exactly what's happened in South Africa and Zimbabwe, the former Rhodesia. That's what is beginning to happen in America, particularly in cities like Memphis, like Detroit, like Birmingham, Alabama, like Gary, Indiana, Camden, New Jersey, Oakland, California. Doesn't matter where it is, all of those places have one common denominator. Non-whites have taken over political power, and when they do, prosperity leaves with the white people. That's what's happening throughout the world. Now, if you want prosperity, you have got to be reconciled to letting white people be in charge. And we need white people who are proud of themselves and their race, just like black people are proud of themselves and their race. Hispanics are proud of themselves and their race. Asians, the Japanese, the Chinese, the Laotians are proud of themselves and their race. Africans are proud of themselves and their race. What's wrong with claiming our birthright, which is the same birthright that every other group claims for itself? The only difference is we have much more reason to be proud of ourselves than other groups do, James.
Well, Keith, I mean, again, it's common sense being spoken. The truth is being told here on the Political Cesspool, not from any sort of ill will or dark place, but because we do have a love and a love for our family, and we will defend our family, and that's what we do here. That's what we've been doing for 9 years. It'll be 9 years to the day on October the 26th. We're going to have a big birthday party. But Columbus Day, I wanted to spend the bulk of the first hour addressing it. I think you'll read a lot of negative things about Christopher Columbus on Columbus Day in the so-called establishment press. So we wanted to get out ahead of that, and for the week that this archive will sit there at our website before the next installment, to give this man his proper due. Keith, how are you going to celebrate Columbus Day on Monday?
I'm going to celebrate by reading the article that we run almost every year on Columbus Day about the importance of Columbus Day and why all of us should consider it one of the premier holidays of the year. It celebrates something that is truly worth celebrating, unlike Martin Luther King Day, for example. This is a man worthy of everyone's respect, and furthermore, in the larger scheme of things, what happened to the world because of Christopher Columbus was one of the most blessed developments that is imaginable. This happened because of Christopher Columbus. If it hadn't been him, there undoubtedly would have been someone else. But if Christopher Columbus and his kind had not discovered the New World, had not opened it up for development, the world would be a much poorer place now than it is currently. And furthermore, if we give up what our ancestors like Christopher Columbus have obtained for us, not only we, but the entire world will be a poorer place for it.
We're going to take a break, folks. We'll be back with more right after this.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
And the winner of fallback pricing is... you. The results are in from Freeze Dry Guy's You Be the Boss, Tell Us What You Want Us to Put on Sale campaign. After getting phone calls, emails, blog, and Facebook comments, nominating your favorite freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods, you the people, you the bosses have spoken. We the staff at Freeze Dry Guy have listened, as we've done since 1970. So now, one item and one entire line of food are on special sale until the end of October. The entire line of popular non-GMO and gluten-free foods are 20% off. The Family First Responders Kit, loaded with delicious freeze-dried foods like hearty beef stew, lasagna, and mouth-watering strawberries, is roughly 30% off. Go to freezedryguy.com, that's freezedryguy.com, to order or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, and make your own deal. Thank you, boss!
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so. C-U-R-T. That's Kurt. C-U-R-T at LibertyRoundTable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundTable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We're just getting started tonight, even though the first hour is almost up. Still, the second and third hour forthcoming this evening before it's all said and done. Peter Scoop Stanton, our intrepid Washington, D.C. correspondent, calling in now. Scoop, what's on your docket this evening?
Good evening, James, Key, Sam, and the rest of the Cesspool family. I, too, want to wish everybody a happy Clemens Day from Washington, District of Columbia. Like you, what you and Keith were saying, if things go like they're going, they're going to have to change the letters for the District of Columbia into Diversity City. However, Washington is getting less and less diverse.
Yeah, there's really not any diversity in Washington, D.C. anymore. It's a blackout.
Well, it depends what part of town you're in. If you're on the west side of the district, it's very white, very prosperous. If you go to the east part, not so much. With the everybody and their brother trying to move to Washington for jobs, since we have no more factories and no more manufacturing and just no more industry, Washington is becoming very prosperous, and the population is shifting from majority black to majority white.
Which is still racist, because, and I wrote about this in my book, it's still racist because they're gentrifying now, at least a little bit more, Washington, D.C. If it's white flight, it's racist. If it's gentrification, it's racist. It's just, the only thing consistent about that is that whites are always at fault.
Correct. So the black people that live in the district are being pushed out towards Prince George's County, and they're not very happy with the changes.
Right.
This weekend, there's a bunch of protests going on. First one is the truckers that shut down America. It was loosely organized, and the idea was to shut down the Washington Beltway or 495. But unfortunately, not enough participants. Yours truly had to go into the district to pick up, do some business during the day. And in the back of my car, I put a political cesspool bumper sticker.
There you go.
And I wrote on the hashtag T. Number two, SDA, which is Truckers to Shut Down America. I even placed the American flag on the back of my car. And I so happened to drive right by the Capitol building, and there's no other cars with any bumper sticker, any flags, no nothing. So, of course, Scoop Sam was the lone protester driving by the Capitol building to protest for the truckers. Today, the truckers had a little bit more organization, a little bit more participation. They went down 395 into the district. 15 truckers got pulled over by Virginia State Police for driving too slowly. And then tomorrow there's supposed to be a very big protest at the World War II Memorial over the conditions of our national parks, because veterans who fought for this country and died for this country and have their blood spilled on foreign soil cannot visit the memorials, including the Vietnam Memorial and the World War II Memorial. But that hasn't stopped them before, because they put the little barrier saying this park is closed due to a government shutdown. And these gentlemen that stormed Normandy, fought Iwo Jima and Khe Sanh, and fought the Tet Offensive went right past the gate.
Well, that's a great, great story. I'm glad to hear that the spirit of 76 lives on in the hearts of these veterans. Let me tell you some of the good things that have happened because of the sequester and because of the shutdown of the government here in Memphis. Newsflash. First of all, I talked with a black person the other day who said they were unable to register at one of these proprietary colleges like the University of Phoenix or ITT Tech because her Pell Grant, U.S. federal government paid tuition, had not come through. So consequently, Pell Grants apparently have been frozen by the sequester. Secondly, I went to the Walmart grocery store near my home today, and one of the checkers was complaining about all of the huge shopping carts filled with food that were just left in the aisles when the shoppers, and I'll tell you that they are all good Democrats, learned that EBT cards were not being honored for the payment of groceries. So consequently, a group of people will no longer be allowed to eat themselves into morbid obesity and attendant health problems, and we won't be spending money to a bunch of proprietary colleges that don't educate anybody, they just harvest Pell Grants because of the sequester. So I'm beginning to think that maybe this sequester, this suspension of the federal government, may be one of the best things that could ever have befallen us.
And before you reply, Scoop, I'm glad you brought up the story of the World War II veterans who were denied access into their memorial in Washington because of the so-called shutdown. I think they ended up just going through the gates and through the caution tape anyway. But the government is not shut down for everyone. And we put up an article about this at thepoliticalcesspool.org a couple of days ago. You know, park rangers are arresting people that go into national parks. I've read a few stories about that. They've closed down businesses that operate inside the parks with permission from the government. So all of these things are occurring, but still, in right where you are, Scoop, in Washington, D.C., the government was not shut down this week. A national park area was not closed down this week for an anti-white rally. Now, as we just mentioned, everybody's probably heard that the National Park Service, citing the government shutdown, are keeping these other people out. But what about a rally in favor of illegal aliens? This is a story that I'm reading directly from the WashingtonTimes.com. Here's what it reads. The National Park Service is allowing an immigration reform rally, that's what they call it, to go on as planned. This occurred last Tuesday on the National Mall, even though the mall itself is closed due to the federal shutdown. Susana Flores, a spokesman for the Camino Americano March for Immigration Reform, confirmed that the Park Service will allow the event to take place. So, they didn't allow an event to take place for the World War II veterans. I have seen other reports where people are denied access to national parks because of the shutdown, but you have this pro-amnesty rally basically taking place. And not only, Scoop, does the National Park Service or the government allow it, several members of Congress attended the rally, including Nancy Pelosi, California Democrat, Senator Robert Menendez, a New Jersey Democrat, and others. So, closed down for some people. For people who aren't even citizens, though, it's wide open, and you're going to get congressional escorts.
Right. Well, first, let me burst Keith's bubble in terms of EBT cards.
Yeah.
It was a computer glitch by the contractor Xerox.
Ah.
Secondly, yes, my heart sank, too. secondly, in terms of the parks, well, those World War II, Korean, Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraqi veterans, they're just cannon fodder, because those people, they're no longer useful. We need these Latino immigrants to help diversify and enrich and enculture this country. So World War II veteran, bad; illegal alien, on the dole, good.
Well, and this is the thing. I mean, at least the government is consistent to this extent. They pick and choose which laws they're going to enforce based upon political correctness, and they're picking and choosing who they're going to allow to attend rallies at national parks, irregardless of the shutdown, which is, I guess, supposed to punish everyone equally. No one's supposed to go to the park. And really, how much money do they spend to maintain these parks in the grand scheme of things? When you're talking about trillions of dollars in debt and in budget, how much are they really losing or saving, I should say, by closing the parks? It's absolutely preposterous. But again, the parks aren't closed to an illegal alien rally for amnesty.
No, Pat Scoop, this is Keith. Sticker. Let me just say this. If the public knew that the EBT program, which is basically the current manifestation of the food stamp program, was being shut down because of the suspension of government, or that, on the other hand, that the Pell Grant giveaway and all the student loan scandals that are attendant to it was being shut down, this would be the most popular event in the history of the nation. Instead, they focus on a couple of park rangers being put off or laid off so that some veterans can't visit a war memorial. You know, this shows you just how in the tank our national news media is, Scoop.
Exactly. And people are just upset. I mean, not just us. We've been sounding the horn for almost going on 10 years now. But other people are just starting to wake up. I mean, we are the canary in the coal mine. So that's why we need people to tell other people about the political cesspool, and then call other radio stations to state our talking points, which you know, it, our own talking points. We don't get it off of a computer. We don't have somebody write it for us. And we do our own research.
Well, Scoop, that's the dream. That's the goal. But I'll tell you this. I'm pretty much reveling in the shutdown. I haven't seen my life be affected in any way. I work for a living. I meet my own needs based upon the work that I do. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it can just continue. And I hope it'll stay shut down. I guess Israel's sweating it. I mean, is Israel getting its daily subsidy? Is Israel getting its daily bread and foreign aid with the government being down? I'm sure there's an exception being made somewhere. Thank you, Scoop, for your contributions. Everybody else, stay tuned. Second and third hour forthcoming in just a moment.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.